The Clean Power Hour is brought to you by CPS America, the maker of North America's number one three-phase string inverter, with over 6 gigawatts shipped in the U.S. The CPS America product lineup includes three-phase string inverters ranging from 25 to 275 kW. Their flagship inverter, the CPS250-275, is designed to work with solar plants ranging from 2 megawatts to 2 gigawatts. The 250-275 pairs well with CPS America's exceptional data communication, controls, and energy storage solutions. Go to chintpowersystems.com to find out more.
People have, and customers themselves have a really, really keen interest in trying to solve the problem, which is how do I become an active participant in helping managing our climate and my concerns about the climate and managing my carbon footprint, whether that's for my home, my small business, or at a work environment. And so that was the thing that really, really sort of made me keen about Perch Energy as I looked at a host of sort of clean energy companies that were trying to solve the problem for how do you democratize.
The Clean Power Hour is brought to you by the Clean Power Consulting Group. I'm Tim Montague, your host. Check out all of our content at cleanpower.group/podcast. Please subscribe on audio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you just hit that little YouTube icon, you can get to the channel and subscribe to it. We really appreciate that. We bring this content to you for you so that you can learn more about the energy transition, whether you're an existing energy professional or an aspiring energy professional. So please check that out. Today on the Clean Power Hour, Perch Energy. My guest today is Bruce Stewart. He is the president and CEO, newly minted. Welcome to the show.
Tim, thank you for having me on the show. Excited to have a chance to talk to you today about Perch Energy and where we're going, and look forward to getting going.
Well, congratulations for your new role there, and looking forward to learning more about you and the Perch Energy company, which is probably not a household name for most people. It is a small but growing venture, and we're going to learn why, and why you will soon see that brand in your community across the United States. So why don't you give our listeners a little background on yourself, Bruce? You're no stranger to energy.
That's right, Tim. I've spent, the last 12 years or so in the energy business, and prior to that was in the technology, web and online and mobile spaces as well. But sort of just centering in around the energy space, I started off in 2010 timeframe with Constellation Energy. We then merged with Exelon, which many of your listeners will know is one of the larger sort of players in the space, vertically integrated from a generation all the way up to retail, bringing energy products and services to the market. And then also spent some time at GE Current, one of their brands, until we sold that, was sold outside of the GE portfolio. And then more recently was with Direct Energy. So it was fun having been at the Constellation timeframe to then go to what was then a competitor, Direct Energy. We bought Energy Choice in the same way Constellation did to consumers, both small and consumers and from homeowners and renters to small, medium-sized businesses to large, you know, commercial, industrial, and municipalities, federal government, you name it, both at Constellation and at Direct Energy. And I most recently, as we were building and growing that business, we found ourselves in a place where we ended up selling that to another one of our competitors, NRG. So we closed that transaction about a year ago in the January timeframe. I stayed on for, you know, through the spring to help sort of run the transition, and then decided to move on and give a laser focus towards the clean energy transition, which is really where I'm excited to be now.
Yeah, it's great to see how traditional energy executives like yourself are segueing into clean energy within those traditional energy companies, and then now making the full-on leap to companies like Perch that are strictly focused on renewables, especially solar and community solar. And I think this is a trend that we will continue to see, you know, as the clean energy industries mature. It's only natural to bring our friends along from the traditional energy economy, and we are going to see a lot more of this. But tell our listeners, what was it that caught your eye about the opportunity at Perch, and what are you guys up to?
Well, I've really always sort of anchored, you know, through my career on really focusing on the customer, themselves, whether that's the needs and interests and desires for services that large customers, medium, small businesses and residential customers have. And frankly, the energy transition that I was sort of intimately involved with from the Constellation timeframe was really about driving choice and awareness of choice, right? It's been around for a long time in Texas, but in other markets, it's really sort of got a lot of traction and momentum where people sort of like, oh, wait, I actually have an opportunity to choose, electricity or natural gas supplier that is different from my local utility. And that was a lot of traction and a whole transition towards choice and getting more and more markets, if you will, state by state, sort of continue adopting to create and give customers the opportunity for choices and alternative products. And then along that way, obviously, whether it was solar, whether it was utility-based solar and utility-based wind, the opportunity for people to continue thinking about energy efficiency, for demand-side sort of management, behind-the-meter sort of solutions were all part of the things that I've been involved with through time. And it was clearly, as we all listen, right? And I think it's a much, much louder drumbeat than it ever was, is that people and customers themselves have a really, really keen interest in trying to solve the problem, which is how do I become an active participant in helping managing our climate and my concerns about the climate and managing my carbon footprint, whether that's for my home, my small business, or at a work environment. And so that was the thing that really, really sort of made me keen about Perch Energy as I looked at a host of sort of clean energy companies that were trying to solve the problem for how do you democratize, how do you make available clean energy solutions to a broader set of the population? And how do you do that as an alternative, not just to rooftop solar? We know that's there for both homes and businesses, but frankly, not everybody can avail themselves of that. In fact, the majority of folks may not have the ability to avail themselves of that. Where I saw the Perch Energy opportunity was to still think about how do you, from a retail perspective, bring that to retail customers, both small and large, right? And then how do you also sort of accelerate people's understanding and awareness that you can actually do that through community solar, kind of like the Uber version of you. It's a shared capacity. You can get access to that matches your consumption. I think that's powerful. And I believe, through the research and analysis that customers really want to understand how to do that. And you need companies. And I hope Perch is one of those, and we tend to be one of those that helps guide and help people make that transition to clean energy, options and choices.
Yeah, it's been interesting over the last 10 years to see, just in Illinois, the state where you and I live, how a consumer's choice has blossomed. First, we went through deregulation. So now there's 70 energy suppliers in the state. Then we got an RPS, Renewable Portfolio Standard, in 2008. We saw serious tranches of wind power come into the state. I thought I'd work in wind before I worked in solar. Luckily, we got FEJA in 2016, the Future Energy Jobs Act, which really accelerated the solar and wind industries. And then we got CEJA in 2021, the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act, which is putting us on the map big time nationally now. Illinois is now a top 5 or 6 state for our climate goals and the growth of solar and wind and now battery storage. We have very good incentives for all three of those technologies. And, in my own community of Urbana, we have a community choice aggregation program where a collection of cities got together and bought an energy contract to buy clean power from a supplier at a very low rate. I pay 4.5 cents per kWh, which is just amazing, right? And now I can, of course, subscribe to a community solar project. So if you are not subscribed to community solar and you want to get clean power from a local facility in your territory, you can do that. And you can find information at your utility's website at Ameren or ComEd or MidAmerican. You can, of course, do rooftop solar, and we have very generous incentives for that. If you have a sunny roof and you own your own roof, which some fraction of the population will be able to afford. So Perch is now a kind of next of breed and best of breed technology platform that is going to give consumers even more choice and flexibility. So tell us about that. 2 years ago today and then tomorrow, Perch is in. Tell us, how many markets is Perch in today, and where is the puck going?
Yeah, you bet. Simply put, perches, wherever community solar is enabled, and even those markets where it's in the early stages of enablement, we're sort of actively involved with the policy making, with the rules and regulatory places to be, even in those markets that are emerging. So let's just say at the moment there's 17, 18, 19 different markets that are out there. Not all are fully advanced and all ready with full promulgation of rules and so forth. But that's sort of the market. And those are big markets, Illinois being one of those, right? You know, an emerging sort of set of pilots in New Mexico, for instance. New York being, full on and, if you will, setting, very transparent, easy to understand sort of rules to allow that competition and to allow that development to happen. So from our perspective, wherever there's an opportunity to sort of bring community solar to market, we're there and we're partnering with the solar developer community and those that are ultimately sort of aggregating solar projects that have been built, buying them and then holding them for the long haul. And we're providing the ability to sort of acquire those customers and then manage those customers over a 20-year timeframe. So our perspective is, I think, quite unique and valuable in the market that we're really been focused on the best of breed sort of technology stack, right? How do you give all of the reporting tools that are really required by the developer community and the financial community that owns these, the asset owners of the solar development sort of farms? How do you give them all the tools to sort of really understand that you're keeping that at full capacity through the life? And that's an important aspect because that fuels, if you will, the ongoing development and sort of for the larger financial community sort of to trust that this is in fact a really solid sort of business play and a return. And then the second side, really do a good job of managing those customers of multiple sizes and creating a sense of diversity of those customers from residential, small business, C&I, and actually paying close attention to this notion of, the equitable availability of clean energy sources to low and medium income neighborhoods as well. Those are some of the things that we're really focusing on from some of our uniqueness. Perhaps another uniqueness is we've been a part of a company called Blue Wave Solar, which was a significant developer through time, one of the earliest community solar developers, first in market in Massachusetts, for instance. So a long history there and a pedigree of people who really understand the community solar market. And that makes a big difference if you're somebody who's developing and or owning that capacity. And it makes a big difference to the customer. So Perch might be a year old, so to speak, as Perch because we spun out of Blue Wave, but it's got a nice long, 7+ year history on top of it as a, services provider and a tech stack.
Yeah, it's great to see community solar coming on now. It's a little ironic that some of the more mature markets in the U.S. like California and Texas don't have particularly notable community solar programs yet. But community solar, if you don't know this, is vital because it gives consumers access directly to real projects, not just buying green tag energy, which is what I'm involved with in this buying program through my city, which I'm grateful for. But I'm now looking at my options for community solar. You get a discount, so you're going to pay less over what you're paying today. So there's guaranteed savings. And then you're supporting this burgeoning economy of green jobs, cleaning the air, helping the utilities make the transition away from coal and natural gas. It's a both and. So while there's community solar projects in, something like 25 or even 30 states out of the 50 U.S. states, there's only a handful of really strong markets. You mentioned Massachusetts, the roots of Blue Wave, New York, Illinois, New Mexico, Colorado. So today, a handful, tomorrow, probably all 50 eventually. Like, it's a no-brainer for legislatures, for leaders in the business community to realize, and of course, consumers, that this is fundamentally a consumer good to give them that choice to buy clean power. And these are 20 to 40 acre solar projects. And so they're not ginormous facilities. They're sprinkled across the landscape. And while we have 100 of these now in Illinois, and we're about to have several hundred more, they are not by any stretch an eyesore. And you can drive by them in just the blink of an eye. And you don't notice them any more than a corn crib or a barn. So for those, you know, rural communities, this is a win-win, and it's good for farmers. It's good for the landowners. It's tripling their income on a per acre basis. So many goods, community solar. So what else interested you about this opportunity, this particular opportunity, Bruce? I mean, the world is probably your oyster. Being an executive in energy for as long as you have been, and the blossoming of energy, you know, across the board now. I mean, energy is just in the news every day. Of course, the backdrop of the crisis in the Ukraine is also shining a light on it. And I think, you know, as the cost of goods and services goes up, people are focusing more and more on, well, how can I save money? How can I reduce my bills?
Yeah.
And solar is now part of that landscape.
You couldn't have said it more succinctly. I mean, we're talking about energy more than I think we've ever talked about it, right? People are talking about it at dinner tables, talking about it at cocktail parties, because it's omnipresent in our world, whether that's a topic about gas pump prices, of course, or whether it's talking about the emerging sort of transition to clean energy sources of all sorts, wind, solar, that are in people's communities now more than they ever were, whether we're talking about energy independence for us or energy resilience, right? Or whether we're talking about the ability for there to be energy affordability or energy equity. It's quite striking how all of those themes and conversations are much more present. But what's striking as well is people trying to take the leap from the intellectual conversation about it to how do I actually make it actionable for me as a business owner, for me of a large business, for me as a mayor of a large town, or for that matter, for an individual homeowner or a renter. And how do I accomplish it, to your point, if I'm not the fraction of folks who can afford or accommodate, you know, some rooftop solar or other solutions? So how do I get access to it? And that's honestly part of the dialogue that I think, in the same way that we had to sort of change the dialogue and, you know, be a better explainer, be a better educator, and driving more awareness on choice from the earliest stages of just simply choice other than your local utility, which is how do I know it's there, and how do I exercise that choice? And what does it mean? What does this mean? And so there's principles that are out there that I think are quite valuable for us, right? Oh, I can have solar without the rooftop panels. Okay, so what does that mean? I got it. It's a great phrase, but what does that actually mean? Well, we build a solar farm, to your point, of a modest size that could provide, you know, homes, businesses, and everything in the local community. It connects to your local utilities. And it's producing, if you will, clean energy from that community solar. And what I can do is I can actually fundamentally have a fraction of that capacity sort of match to my load, to what I use in my home, my business, and otherwise, and I can be carbon neutral. Wow, that's a cool shared economy concept. Now you start to hear the same way that people were, you know, whether it's Uber or Lyft or any other ride share, the same notion is you don't have to buy the car to still have transportation. And you don't have to actually ultimately purchase and build that community solar farm, you can avail yourself of that capacity to match to your load and then accomplish the goal. And that's so important to just help people make that transition from a desire. And it's really there. I know I should be doing something. I'm not sure what I can be doing. Our brand, Perch, wants to sort of help you understand in these local markets. This is something you can see, feel, and touch, right? It isn't the rec concept, but see, feel, and touch. It's available for you, and you can actually help continue to sort of drive the innovation and drive the ongoing development to get ourselves to, you know, an improved carbon reduction, meet all of our carbon reduction goals. It's powerful stuff, and people want it. And that's why there's dollars coming into here, significant investment, significant aggregation of players in the space to really, really, really sort of drive it forward.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Clean Power Hour or viewing it on YouTube. We do have a great YouTube channel. If you're not subscribed, please go to cleanpower.group and hit that YouTube icon and subscribe to our channel. Of course, you can find all of our content on your favorite audio platform as well. So please give us a rating and a review. I wanted to let you know that we are partnered with the Midwest Solar Expo this year. Check it out, MidwestSolarExpo.com. You can get a 15% discount with our code, which is CPH15. We will also put that in the show notes, CPH15. The Midwest Solar Expo is the premier B2B solar and clean energy event in the region. It hosts over 450 clean tech executives from around the country. And it's a lovely event in Minneapolis, June 20th to 22nd. So please check it out. Back to the show. The phrase that's present for me is clean energy as a service. And to give an example, you know, here in Urbana, where I live in central Illinois, we have a closed municipal landfill. It was the first solar project I ever walked in 2016 with Scott Tess, who's a sustainability manager for the city of Urbana. And they issued an RFP. Once we got FEJA, they issued an RFP. I think SunPower was the original winner of the RFP. And they got a contract, a REC contract, to develop a community solar project within the low-income carve-out. So we have special programs in Illinois for low- and middle-income communities. And then NextAmp ended up buying the project and then developing the project, which got commissioned last year. It's about a 5-megawatt project, all said. And so it's providing clean power for maybe 700 to 1,000 local, low- and middle-income community members who, prior to that, just had a closed landfill in their backyard. This is very close to downtown Urbana. It's within a mile of the core of downtown. And you can't do anything else with a closed municipal landfill, right, for a variety of environmental hazards that are contained within that. I mean, it just looks like a grassy mound, right? It's a pile of dirt that underneath it is a bunch of trash that is just slowly decomposing. And now it has a ballasted solar farm on it. So they put the solar farm on big blocks so that it doesn't hurt the cover on the landfill. Now you're getting this clean energy into the community. It was jobs, construction jobs. There's ongoing maintenance jobs. But first and foremost, affordable electricity for low and middle income residents. So shout out to the city of Urbana for doing that. And to Anthony Starr for running the IPA, the Illinois Power Agency, which oversees this program. We are all hands on deck now, you know, growing as quickly as we can in the clean energy industry. I'm curious, Bruce, what you see in your crystal ball when it comes to the growth trajectory for community solar and some of the challenges that we face, the supply chain issues, the qualified labor issues. Unemployment is very low in the United States, even though we just came out of a unemployment crisis with the COVID. Now we're in the opposite situation where the economy is booming and we don't have enough qualified workers to do all these jobs. So I'm just curious, though, what do you see coming down the pike that Perch and your colleagues there are going to be grabbing onto?
Yeah. So, well, you know, two of the parties that we serve day in, day out, right, are those who are the developers themselves, all the folks from the financing and tax equity side of the space to the large sort of asset owners that are aggregating and bundling up a lot of developer projects to build larger portfolios. And there's a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of appetite for investment that's continuing to grow. Sort of map that with that real activity we see day in, day out for, you know, existing portfolios. We're managing well over 100 different projects at the moment, solar farm projects that have been built across multiple markets. And we see that number just, you know, as community solar projects sort of growing exponentially. Look at other sort of data points in the market. We know we have solar associations, you have the DOE, and you have research and advisory groups like Wood Mackenzie, who have all put projections out there based upon what's happening and following the financial flow to show that this could be really, really huge growth. I mean, the DOE had a goal of sort of 25, you know, gigawatts. You sort of, and then you've got other folks that are sort of backing it down into the high teens or the low single digits. No matter what, that's an exponential growth rate from where we are today. We're basically building Perch to be able to service that through time, right? And to be able to be a strong partner. You said something else, which I'll just sort of scratch at a little bit, which was, how does that growth sort of get facilitated? And the kinds of things that happen, you know, in community by community with siting laws and permitting processes, right? With true education and awareness about the ability for these to be strong environmental, good in environmental impacts in our market and wherever they're sited, right? That's an important element. So all the rules and the regulations about the front end sort of development and build side, along with the transparency of those rules to the broader market. And then frankly, also the incentives, right? And are we putting caps in? Are we going slow? Are we going fast? Are we going at a nice moderated speed? And you can see sort of different things happening in different markets, like New York has really helped sort of drive and fuel it forward, to your point, and same as Illinois, with really good, strong incentives put in place to help us make this transition faster, right? There really is a public-private activity that is happening here to achieve a broader goal. So really good companies pulling together to sort of create the services like Perch, like the developers, and like the asset owners, combining those with regulatory and policymakers to help create really clear and transition goals, with associations that are helping sort of say, here's the best of best practices that we can see, so that when we're going state by state by state, to your point, ultimately getting to 50, right? State by state, we can have, instead of a patchwork, we can have sort of a nice consistent level of rule promulgation that sort of helps the industry to continue to grow, again, to serve that larger goal, which is giving customers exactly what they want, which is clean energy, access to clean energy sources.
So if I'm a solar developer and maybe I'm in the business of long-term asset ownership, a lot of the developers are getting into that business of, it's either or, right? They develop and flip, meaning they develop a project and then sell it to someone else, or they develop and own for the long term. But then subscribing consumers to these projects, that's the end life, is then they have to, somebody has to subscribe hundreds and then thousands of consumers and business owners to these projects. Is a very different business than owning and operating solar farms. So while some of them will do this, like NextAmp, they're a vertically integrated company, and consumers here in Illinois are familiar with that brand because NextAmp is doing direct marketing now to all of the ratepayers in Illinois saying, hey, we want you to buy community solar from our solar farms. But what does Perch offer to your developer and asset owner customers and partners?
What we've been offering for 7 years at this point in time. So we're in the same game. Instead of actually being a service shop that only services projects like NextAmp that they build, we're actually looking at all the projects that are being developed out there, forming those relationships and say, we will manage, we'll be your clean tech platform. We'll continue to innovate that. Every innovation cascades to all of our partners that have capacity. We will fill that capacity. We have a fantastic fill rate of filling that on time, on their deadlines, which is really important to financing. And then, you know, as customers come and go for any number of reasons, whether they've moved their business location, maybe they've just shut the business down, or whatever the case is, we'll always be there for a good 20 plus year of the life, constantly replacing and keeping that topped off. It's how it works. So we're that player and provider that is active in the market, always has access to customers, both large and small, because lots of these projects want to have, if you will, a larger anchor customer that could be a municipality, a large, you know, investment grade commercial industrial company, any number of, you know, large hospitals, you name it, that have a long horizon to basically have access to clean energy, and then small businesses, and then also increasing residential customers. That's what we do. We are doing it to tens and tens and thousands of customers already, and we continue to manage them from the collections to the billing, to the questions and answers, to helping them with figuring out additional solutions for them through time, to be honest with you, which is, okay, I now have a renewable source through community solar, but how do I also think about energy efficiency? Could be another, you know, down the road sort of way to sort of help them get a full set of services as well.
Yeah. Well, in our last few minutes together, what else should, you know, consumers, but especially energy professionals and developers know about Perch, and how can they learn more about how you work with developers?
Yeah, you bet. You bet. Thanks, Tim. So, I mean, first of all, Perch is, as a brand is a new name, but people have been around for 7 years. We're part of Blue Wave Solar, so we're that team that has a lot of expertise and capabilities representing a lot of both asset owners and solar developers. We understand their needs and interests from both the ongoing management of that and reporting standpoint. We understand the importance of getting the project sort of quickly and timely filled with customers. We understand the need for an ongoing access to customers and good customer relationships that keep the projects filled, so through the life they are generating the value that was expected. We understand that it really takes good quality customer care management. That's that, like any business that's in the customer space, you've got to understand it. You got to understand how to get access to those customers and bring good value propositions to them, which we have here. So those are the things that we're really setting in on. And we're doing it on a clean energy tech stack that's new. It's incredibly valuable and it's scalable. We're just excited about riding along and partnering in a tight way to sort of deliver for both our customers, as well as for our clients that on the developer and asset owner side.
You know, I note that if you go to perchenergy.com, just like the fish, perchenergy.com, you'll see a announcement not only about you being the new CEO, but also that you have secured $7.2 million in a Series A funding. What are you planning to do with that round of funding?
You bet. So it's fun one that we got a lot of enthusiasm for this first round. The business has been around for a while, so it's not a nascent business. So sometimes when you think Series A, you think they're just getting started. We've actually been around. So we've got lots of projects under our belt. But really, this is about, you know, how do we continue to build the capabilities on our tech platform? How do we continue to build additional sales channels and scale them? The markets are expanding. New markets are showing interest in getting involved in community solar. How do we support that? Listen, this is for a lot of folks, a confusing, lots of regulatory issues and policy issues. We're going to invest in being an expert and helping our clients, our partners truly understand the landscape, right, of where opportunity is and how it's shifting and changing. Because, boy, it really is dynamic, right? And that's where we're going to spend it on services for our clients, growing our capacity to continue to bring a whole host of customers in. The ability to sort of service low, medium income markets is important. We've just done that in the New York market. So that's up and running. So that's a capability that a couple of years ago wouldn't have been there is now. So those are the places and the people and the talent. So we're recruiting people to come in that have a passion for this and have expertise so we can really help do our part in this ecosystem to really drive the adoption and acceleration of, you know, clean energy availability.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to seeing Perch grow and succeed. I want to make a couple of quick announcements. We are partnered here at the Clean Power Hour with the Midwest Solar Expo, which is a B2B energy expo and conference in Minneapolis, Minnesota, June 20th to 22nd. You can get a 15% discount with our discount code CPH15, and I'll put that code in the show notes. You can check out the expo at MidwestSolarExpo.com. They have a wonderful lineup of speakers and exhibitors, so it's appropriate for developers, EPCs and installers, manufacturers, financiers. There's always a strong showing from community solar developers, so please check out MidwestSolarExpo.com. You can find all of the Clean Power Hour content at cleanpower.group/podcast. Please subscribe on your favorite audio platform. Give us a rating and a review on Apple and Spotify. That helps others find this content. With that, I want to thank Bruce Stewart, the CEO and president of Perch Energy, for coming on the show today. Look forward to circling back in a year or two and see how the journey's been for you. Thank you so much, Bruce.
Tim, thank you very much. We'll see you at the Midwest Expo as well. We'll be there. We're there in force. Look forward
Excellent.
To that.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
The Clean Power Hour is brought to you by CPS America, the maker of North America's number one three-phase string inverter. With over 6 gigawatts shipped in the U.S., the CPS America product lineup includes three-phase string inverters ranging from 25 to 275 kW. Their flagship inverter, the CPS250-275, is designed to work with solar plants ranging from 2 megawatts to 2 gigawatts. The 250-275 pairs well with CPS America's exceptional data communication, controls, and energy storage solutions. Go to chintpowersystems.com to find out more.